I was actually going back through my emails to see the first time we had Dr. Belousek who on the show with us, and it was right before the primary election in early August. And so who better to go to right after the general election results come out? And so he is back this morning, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Hartford. Good morning to you, Bilal. So glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing well, and good morning to you also.
It was a night. It was quite a night. I mean, in some ways it wasn't as exciting as I'm sure people thought it would be here in Connecticut, but nationwide it certainly is still very exciting this morning, and there's a lot of unknowns. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are this morning. What are you thinking about?
Well, the first thing was I'm thinking about sleep because I didn't get a whole lot of it last night. I stay up and try to figure out, you know, where all of this was going. I think, you know, there are a lot of different stories coming out of last night. I mean, first of all, many people thought that this would be a red wave, that Republicans would have tremendous success, that they would, you know, run up big totals in the House of Representatives and would, you know, just have a night that would demoralize the Democratic Party. And we didn't see that happen, which was really bizarre. I mean, we've got a situation where the president's approval rating in some states was so bad that he didn't even visit those states. You've got record inflation and problems with the economy and, you know, high gas prices. So, and, you know, everything that should have suggested Republicans would have a big night, but it just did not materialize.
And there were a couple of races that I think are probably one of the biggest shockers had to have been the Pennsylvania race, the Fetterman-Dr. Oz race, and the fact that he pulled ahead and he ended up winning. And I think even as we look at what's going on in Georgia, the Warnock-Herschel, their race as well is so tight that they're probably going to have to do something in 4 weeks for that because it's way too close to call. Here's my question, you know, and we saw it kind of here in Connecticut as well, candidates who got the backing of the former president, Donald Trump. I remember when you and I talked about this the day after the primary elections, and without saying it bluntly, it was pretty shocking that Leora Levy came out ahead of Themis Claridis when she was the Republican candidate, the Republican Party-endorsed candidate. She had support from the independent side. She had certainly support from the Republicans, and she was what was considered the best bet to remove Blumenthal from office. And then in the last minutes before the election, the former president, endorses Leora Levy, and she ends up winning. And so, you know, I think Connecticut kind of got this message of like, oh, so President Trump matters, essentially. But we're seeing on a national scale here, Dr. Sekou, that maybe that's not the narrative, because we saw some major upsets from people who were backed by the former president, and they lost. You know, I look at the races in Arizona, for example, where they lost terribly, and that idea of like Trump being looked at as a positive for Republicans, I don't know if that's the narrative this morning.
Right. I mean, I guess the first thing to keep in mind is, though there are a lot of Republicans here in Connecticut, I wouldn't call Connecticut Trump country in terms
being
Republican. I think, you know, part of the challenge, and I think both parties face this, is that the primaries really activate the base and probably the folks who are most, you know, to the extreme within both parties. And so, you know, what happened with that particular primary was that that base of voters who are angry and want change, you know, they showed up. And they are also voters who like Donald Trump. And so they flipped that turnout, you know, and Claridis would have been a much better candidate, I think. Still difficult to defeat an incumbent, would have been a much better candidate. But I think you're right. In the large sense, you know, some of these Trump-endorsed candidates were deeply flawed candidates. At the end of the day, no Democrat should be this close to a win in Georgia, especially given the fact that the statewide races, the Republicans won with big numbers. So that tells you a lot of people split their vote. And I think this is a phenomenon that happened across the country. I mean, a lot of people, and what was interesting is that coming up to this election, we political scientists were talking about how people don't split the ticket like they used to. This election clearly showed there are people who walked in and voted for Kemp, but could not vote for Herschel Walker, who voted for other candidates statewide, Same thing in other states. There were a lot of Democrats who did that as well. You look at the numbers of the governor race in Pennsylvania, and you look at how close this race is in the Senate. So a lot of voters are really torn who are walking into the ballot booth, and they're saying, yeah, I'm going to vote for a Democrat for this office. I'm going to vote for a Republican for this office. And so I think that's part of the reason why this red wave didn't occur. You had a lot of split ticket votes. You had a lot, you had a number of candidates who were deeply flawed, very problematic, who might have, you know, been people who were endorsed by Trump because they were football players or they were television, you know, television celebrities. But at the end of the day, voters went in and they said, this is not what, these are not the people that we want. At least a lot of voters who split their tickets said that.
And we're talking this morning to Dr. Belasic, who is an associate professor, but also a political science. I call you an expert. I know you probably don't like that term, but you're the guy I go to whenever I want to hear about politics because I think you're fair and you see the whole picture with the University of Hartford. And another thing, too, as we talk about Donald Trump, you know, he's hinted that next week he's going to make a big announcement at his Mar-a-Lago property, and he hinted that he is running for 2024. What do you think that kind of means for the Republican Party? As far as, you know, on a national scale, I mean, here in Connecticut, I would imagine, you know, other than the, like you said, diehard Republicans, I don't think Connecticut is going to back Donald Trump. Bad move? I mean, I think we were kind of anticipating for a long time that it was going to be Ron DeSantis in Florida. But now with that kind of hint that he's going to run next week, as in Donald Trump, after what happened overnight, I feel like I'm wondering if he would change his tune, because I don't know if the Republican Party would see success for the president if it ends up being Donald Trump as the candidate.
Well, let's say this. You know, the Republican establishment hopes he doesn't make that announcement anytime soon if Georgia needs to do a runoff. And it looks like Georgia will have a runoff for the Senate seat. And if that's the case, the last thing they want to do is to motivate voters to turn out on the Democratic Party side to try to make sure Warnock is returned to office. And, you know, and that's assuming that Georgia will be the state that will really decide control of the Senate. I think it's a real challenge for the Republican Party. On the other hand, DeSantis, you know, Florida became even redder. And became redder in places that it hadn't been red before. Mm-hmm. And so DeSantis may be proving himself to be a really credible alternative to Donald Trump. And his ability to perhaps pull even Democrats and certainly independents into the Republican Party to get those votes. And so Trump may have a fight on his hands if DeSantis jumps in and a lot of people get behind him. But I think at this point, there are a lot of Republicans who would love to put the Trump years behind them. Donald Trump doesn't want to put the Trump years behind him, though. He wants to go forward and recapture the White House.
Well, Dr. Sinku, I guess we will have to see what happens. And, of course, I love that I have you as a resource on this show. And I am happy to continue chatting with you as we continue to watch politics unfold here in Connecticut and nationwide. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Always appreciate it. Go get some sleep. Go sleep. You deserve it.
Exactly. Take care.
Thank you. You too. That's Dr. Sekou, again, an associate professor of political science at the University of Hartford here on WICC.